Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet, guys. So this is our last episode as the cabinet for the year. I'm your host today, Gwena Mashala, joined by my colleagues Herman Molloy and Nandine Tini. We have a special guest today. I don't know if it's a special, but we have a special
I'm special.
We have a special guest today joining us. She is a colleague of ours, Ujinet Shabalala, as well. We talk about it. I think if you guys listen to the podcast, we do talk about her. Most of the time we reference her in stories that she does. So guys, say hello to the listeners out there.
Hi
guys.
So, Ujinet is the senior journalist that we've been saying.
Yes.
When we reference him, we say senior journalist.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you guys have been, you know, talking about me and the stories that I do, because they matter a lot, you know. And yeah, being here today talking about those stories and just having fun is why I am here. Thank you so much for the invite.
You're very much welcome. So guys, so today we'll be switching things up a little bit, obviously because it's the last episode, but let's just first talk about the so far the topics of the week. So Herman yesterday, guys, went all the way to Orange Farm to do a story about initiations. It's that time of the season where some traditional leaders are taking people up the mountains and initiating them. Herman, please introduce us to that topic.
So, yesterday I was doing a story about the initiation school,
mm-hmm.
but we were looking at those who are going there without the consent of their parents, those who are going to unregistered schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a couple of them, but we got a report that says about 480 kids
mm.
are missing and suspected to be in those initiation schools that are unregistered.
Mm.
We also know that about 11 schools were destroyed because they were not compliant. So we spoke to a father of a 17-year-old. So this son went there without the permission of the father. So the father went out to go and do some errands. Mm. And then when he came back, he realized, oh, no, man, there's no one in the house.
Or, mm.
My son has left. And then while he was registering a missing person case, he got a call to say, hey, Joe, your son is in first state. He's in initiation school. Here are the few items that we're going to need. And when he basically round the money, it's close to 10K.
Yeah, it's quite expensive. But is it initiation school now in December? Because, you know, in Limpopo, they happen in June.
In June.
Yeah. So that a person heals privately.
So we have three types, actually. We have those who last for 6 months. We have those who go in June. We have those who go in December.
Mm. So for 6 months, you are there.
Yeah.
No schooling.
I think it's in Cape. Yeah.
Mm, that's hectic.
Yeah, that's hectic.
But usually when, I know in Limpopo, when they do go to the mountains, they don't really tell their parents that I'm going to the mountains. Unless if the parent says, I think you need to go. But most of them, they just go there. And then a person, I forgot what they call the person who is going to be guiding them. They will come to the house, your home, and then say, Herman is there. So this is what I'm going to be.
I don't recall if you guys remember seeing there was a video that was going around of, actually it was in Limpopo, I'm not sure if it was around June or maybe just resurfaced, but there were these boys who were wearing blankets and everything, and they were like, they just came back from the mountains, and they were being celebrated by the communities, especially it was a vendor side. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Yeah, it's a quite nice tradition, although we don't practice it at home.
Mm.
But yeah, for those who practice it, I feel them. Another thing, Janet, yes, previously you didn't have to tell your parents, but now we have so many fake ones where people die. At some point, you need a parent to say, you know what, I know where you are.
Yeah.
And I'm responsible for whatever happens there.
Yeah. But Hemen, how do I know that a school is not fake? Like an initiation school is not fake. How do I identify that?
So it's very difficult. Like your traditional healers, so to make that example. Mm. But then we know with tradition, it's not like you have legit papers.
Yeah.
But they have a consent form that you need to give your parents if you're interested in going there.
Mm.
You also do your HIV test.
Yeah.
So those processes give you that credit. You're okay.
Yeah.
This is legit, because these fake ones, they just chop you in the street and after taking you from the states.
And I think you also need to be kind of recognized by eCOCTA in some sort of way. Because I think COCTA also is also in this type of processes. So they need to be notified of certain kralls or certain leaders who are going to be taking boys up. Yeah. And I think that's what, in this case, I guess they didn't notify eCOCTA and they just ran off with these. How many boys?
480.
That's a lot of boys, guys. Bad. You can't but run
why, why, but boys. Why is the practice still so important? Why can't you just go to the doctor?
Janet, your question is very legit, ne?
Hmm.
Because we still hear it. Hmm. Many people are still asking about that question. But then initially, when you went there, it's that thing, your manhood.
Mm.
You learn certain ways to respect a woman. But you learn those things. But now things have changed. People go there so that they can become gangsters. And we know that's the only manhood they are. Yeah. But it's part of tradition that we should practice. Mm. I mean, we always complain, no, we are forgetting our roots. So we just need to find a way to rectify some of the mistakes that have been done.
I mean, is there a difference when you see like Hemen going to the doctor and then Thabo going to the mountains? Is there a difference the behavior, the way they handle themselves?
No, I'm saying there is, because I know a friend of mine who went in the mountains before we're doing matric.
Yes.
So when he came back, you would see that he's like Hemen is saying, they educate you on how to speak, on how to handle yourself. Now suddenly he's not the person that you last saw the previous year. Yeah. Now he's more grounded. He's more, even when he's more disciplined, lowered voice, and everything.
More respectful.
More respectful.
Yeah. But chances are slim, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Because I also have a friend who went there about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The guy is very respectful. He knows how to speak to people. He knows how to dress himself. He knows how to address, and you were on a that confidence.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. You know, I don't want us to get into this conversation, ne? But some of them get that thing. Yeah, I'm not even going to cook anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to. I'm not gonna cook. A woman should know her place. It's mostly the ones that are from the mountains.
But then also, remember, we can't say they are from legit. So most of them, they just go there, spend their holidays. I'm sorry, but then on my December, I need to be around the hood. I need to go.
Because now we're running with it. We're running with this initiation, guys. But let's hope everybody's doing it correctly.
Yeah.
You need to go by and go tell COCTA that when you run a kral with boys, you need to notify the parents. You can't steal kids in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And it's ridiculous now to charge me 10K when I didn't even know that my child is there.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Let's move on.
Blame your own child.
Nah, yeah, I did it. Okay, guys, so moving on, right? So tomorrow, on Friday, it marks the deadline for the President Ramaphosa to sign the Bele Bill in its entirety, right, to enact. Enact? Is it in full? Yeah. Into session.
To become an act,
right? So the reason why it was held back, it was mainly
because of Clause 4 and 5.
Was it not signed?
It was signed. We're giving background.
Okay, so tomorrow he's not signing.
He's not signing it. He's just signing in the entirety of it. He signed portions, let me put it like that. He signed it right, but he did not. He took back the clause that includes the language policy, as well as the admission policies as well. And that this is also because it apparently it gives opportunities to parties to kind of put again their thoughts on the matter, because there was a lot of disruptions around these clauses. There were a lot of parties, there were a lot of organizations that were really against these two clauses being put in place, right? So the one clause is more about the fact that the schools would need to submit language decisions or language making decisions to the department, whereas the other one is more about the admissions of schools, basically admitting kids to certain schools, right? So now, this is what I find also curious is also the fact that these oppositions come from parties like your DA, your King, what's the orange one? Your VF Plus, it's those type of parties that are against it. And then now you have Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, Blade Zimandile, yesterday, who says that the DA is against the Bella Act is because they mainly want to defend privileged white schools that use Afrikaans language as a front, and using Afrikaans language as a front, right? So we've had this conversation before about the Bella Act bill, right? But now it's going into a thing out that president now has to sign the entirety of it. Siviwe, the Minister of Basic Education, was speaking on the sidelines at the National Sports School Championships that started today in Pretoria. Let's take a listen to what she had to say on this matter.
I think the more important thing is the work that has been done by the clearinghouse, which I believe is meeting in the next day or so. And so I believe that they'll be able to give their recommendations to the president, considering that his time of consultation ends on the 13th of, which is tomorrow, the 13th of December. So I'm quite hopeful. I think that we're going to be able to resolve this matter. At the end of the day, the act must be implemented. And it's just a matter of how do we get the system ready to implement it and implement it well, bearing in mind that education is immediately realizable in terms of the constitution. So whenever we say something must commence, we must make sure that we're ready.
I know we've discussed it before, but
I'm concerned about clause 4 because it speaks about admission and it's saying that the school can decide to say we are taking this child or we are not taking this child. And they're also saying that without documentation, you can come to the school. So think about illegal, undocumented immigrants who are in South Africa, who will be now pouring in our school. I mean, Department of Education has been facing many problems, one with overcrowding in classes. So now you're saying that one onodutse hai without documents must come to school and learn. So I'm very concerned about clause 4.
You can't say that it's people who don't have documentation, because you have South Africans who don't have documentation
as well,
and they don't.
You're speaking about 0.2%.
Birth certificates. I get into school. You need the birth certificates.
Yeah, but you need man.
It's, you know, for me, it's very interesting that Siviwe has been appointed as Minister of Education, and she's opposed to the Bella Act. Those clauses, not the Bella Act in its entirety, but those clauses. But then how do you now go against your boss when your boss says it's supposed to be like this? And Wena, because you are from the DA,
you have another boss who's telling you.
exactly. So you need to now prioritize the party that you come from. But what about now your boss who says that this is going to be signed as it is? And Wena, you're like, no. Remember when he was signing it,
She did not even come out.
Mm. Mm. She did not even attend. So for me, it's quite interesting that she was actually appointed as a minister of education, despite the fact that she was supposed to. Wabona, so it's quite interesting. And we'll see tomorrow what happens.
Yeah.
Even today, we'll see if statements are being released, you know.
So, I think what I found interesting was the fact that she says that we will have to implement the act if it's signed, and yet you didn't show up.
You don't show up to the signing.
So what is that?
So was that like a PR stunt? Yeah, I am the Minister of Education, and whatever. I mean, we will implement it. You are right, Gwena.
Because what nonsense is that?
This goes back to saying that. ANC enjoyed the blue lights, and when we come in charge, we're gonna make sure that people are count. Mm-hmm. But now you're faced with a situation that you have to deal with.
Mm.
But it's gonna be interesting also to see how they will look at Palapala now, because they are part of GNU.
Mm-hmm.
Are they gonna say no, Ramaphosa must stay as president? He does not need to answer, or are they gonna say answer?
I think they've been vocal about that as well. They're not pushing it as much as they've been, but I don't think that if push comes to shove, I think they will pursue.
I think they definitely will.
So are you saying blue lights influence your decision?
No, not really, guys. Not really. I mean, it's a GNU. We need to compromise. They are compromising here and there. And
I think I'm not going to lie to you guys. In regards to this GNU thing, I think the ANC has done a lot of compromising, hey? From my standpoint, I think they've done a lot.
Gwena, if you have 40% of the vote, you have
no.
To
but even if you do have 40%, Nandi, you like what do you think, right? Like you have, even if you have 40% of the votes, you. I mean, look at the Gauteng thing. When Panyas was supposed to do his office and the complications, they had to. How many times did they postpone, Nandi? Like three times.
I think
like
three times before because.
Panyaza took charge.
Yeah, give premier, guys. He should be taking charge. Okay.
But
I feel like I'm taking your mic and the listeners want to listen to you. And I'm taking your mic, constantly grabbing the mic.
Janet, no, it's fine. You're the guest. That's fine, Janet. But I also, like what you're saying with Panyaza, I feel like DA is, I think it's their opportunity.
Mm.
So that's how they're using it. Instead of making this whole genuine work, it's their opportunity to... Do you see how many statements they release?
Bruh.
Department of Health is owing this. Fire Health Minister. Do this. It's all about that. I don't see anything, maybe improvement that they want to bring now.
I mean, did you even see the Brink one? The whole Brink. You must put Brink back.
Otherwise, Helen was arrested at this point. Yo.
But it is what it is, guys. It's a clarion. But we also, I think CVA, she works, I think she needs to be reminded that she works for the people, not for the party. Yeah,
she works for South Africa.
Yeah, so her decision and all the things must come to an end. She must put her feelings to the side. So, guys, I don't know if I want to call it progress. Is it progress, Nandi? Is it progress, Herman, Jeanette?
The progress in.
So basically, right? So the city of Johannesburg yesterday evicted 145 people from a hijacked building in the CBD after obtaining an eviction order, right? This is part of their, you know, we are trying to clean the city and everything campaign. And so this is the first, this is just one of the nine buildings in total that they got eviction orders for. And the city says that they have provided alternative temporary accommodation for the displaced residents as part of efforts to revitalize the inner city and ensure the safety. So I went to Twitter just to see, you know, people's reactions on things. And there are a lot of people asking, okay, yeah, sharp, fine, great, you're cleaning up the city. But are you also providing accommodation for the ones who are not supposed to be here? Legally as well.
That's a good one. But also, when did they get the eviction order?
I think they got it Monday, actually.
On Monday. Can I tell you something? The city obtained more than, or is it 9 eviction orders?
Yes.
I think earlier this year or late last year, right? Nothing has happened so far.
Mm.
And then in August, the executive mayor, Dada Morero, said that they have a plan.
He went 2 days and then he left and he came back.
So they have a plan regarding your hijacked buildings.
Mm.
Where's the plan? He said, we will invite the media.
There's going to be a statement from Foundation, and we know that Foundation is going to say, what are you doing to those people?
Exactly.
We know.
And I know that when Akwena, you went to different places as well, hijacked buildings.
Mm.
And the people there, they were like, no, we are not moving. We have free electricity. We have what? Even now, they evicted them. Check next week. They will be back.
And the thing is, but they said that they will be locking it up and sealing it.
The foundation is going to go to court.
My thing is, you know, my thing, I don't mind that. I mind the fact that all of a sudden now they have alternative accommodation. When previously, even in the Usidiso building, they had two witnesses coming to the, it was not Usidiso building, but the Usidiso commission. They had two witnesses coming into their, the session and saying that we do not have alternative accommodation to put people at. Even if we want to evict them, we can't put everybody elsewhere because there's no space and we don't have the money. We don't have the budget for it. Now, there is a budget. There's alternative accommodation and they're moving and they're planning to move other people. So I feel like this is just, I don't know. I feel like this is like, you know, that thing that is too good to be true. Soon something's gonna just come out and just pop and say, I got you guys. I was lying.
My concern is that we know how this thing ends, Joe.
Mm.
They're gonna be moved today. Next week, there's gonna be a foundation that's gonna release a statement saying we are taking the city to court.
Yeah.
For what?
For evicting people. You know how they are.
There's a foundation. Your Siri.
I didn't name any foundation. I didn't name any foundation. But we know.
But they do such cases.
There's one that has H. It starts with H. It's gonna. Fine.
What? Human said, Rights Commission? Yeah.
When Helen's smile.
I didn't say anything.
Just not if it's Helen's smile.
That's weak.
I choose not to incriminate myself.
Wink, wink. But I think in this situation, they can't oppose the eviction, guys. The organizations can't come
and say they will always do it.
That's the thing. I never understand why these organizations do that. Then what should the city do? Because when the city doesn't do anything, we're against them. Mm-hmm. When the city does something, we're against them. What do you want the city to do then?
To provide alternative accommodation.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, which is good. So if they come, the organizations
where's the alternative accommodation?
Yeah, did they say where?
It's probably one of those shacks, those 10,000 rand shacks.
So you think the HZ Foundation will be happy with that? Those shacks. Let's wait and see.
Let's wait and see. So, Dada Marera was also on the ground, guys. He was giving us everything. I swear, even my boss was like, why does Dada Marera seem like he's an ENCA anchor? So, let's just go to one of his highlights and what he was saying.
We are here as part of our evacuation program under the rejuvenation of the inner city program. We have been engaging with the communities here who, in fact, are staying in a hijacked building, which is property owned now by the city of Johannesburg. And throughout the engagements, we have arrived at the conclusion that we'll move the residents to an area in Vleuhof where we've got proper rental stock. In any case, where we are, people are already paying rentals up to 1,500. So we think they'll be able to afford where we're taking them. And as part of the process is to then find cheaper accommodations, which we'll do in the inner city. We've already launched one in the last 2 months, last month, and that project is housing about 155 rooms, and the rentals are between 900 to 1,500, which we think that the people will be able to afford those rentals. They're already paying in any case to syndicates and criminal groups that are collecting rentals from our people under this bad living conditions that our people are staying in. As you look at this building, there's shacks and shacks inside. The building may collapse, the building may catch fire at any given time, and we think government must act responsibly and take the people to better, safer places, and that's exactly what we are doing.
Guys, thank you so much for inviting me. I had so much fun. No,
thank you.
Thank you for coming, man.
All right.
So, guys, moving on to that, I loved the fact that Jeanette was here, guys. It was so funny, actually. But anyway, hopefully we can have her for a full episode next time. So, moving on to Spaza Shops, guys. Spaza applications. So, I loved the headline. So it's in headline on the story. What was it again, Nandi? Immigrants what?
Immigrants, they what?
Immigrants, yeah. Most Spaza shop applications are by immigrants. I loved that headline for some reason, because it just showed you actually like the
what's
truth
really happening
is
yeah.
what is happening on the ground in just like few words, right? So Nandi went to a briefing where the MEC Lebohang Maile of Economic Development revealed that the most Spaza shop air registration applications were from immigrants with 2,605 out of 4,521 submissions. Wow, Nandi, go further too.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than half of the 4,000.
That is
like more than half. And him saying all of those, I mean, saying the numbers, because I remember the locals that have submitted, also they had complications with their documents. They were like 1.9. So it means we are still lacking as locals. So it basically proves what's happening in our townships.
Seriously.
I mean, foreign nationals are the ones that are in charge of the town. I mean,
the Spaza
shops and everything else. But also what interesting that Lebohang Maile said was that you registering, thank you, bring your application, but it won't necessarily mean you're good to go. We still need to do, inside visit to check if your Spaza shop is complying and everything else. So he also mentioned that these immigrants, they are doing that, but we are not guaranteed they will have their shops. They'll continue owning those shops. So it's still a win or lose situation, but yeah.
So, like I said, Unandi did the story. Did the story where she went to Lebohang Maile's briefing. We'll just take a listen to what he said about the registration application.
The registration centers across the province open daily between 7:30 and 4:00, with a total of 372 dedicated personnel assisting with registration. The province aims to register as many Spaza shops as possible within 21 days. As of the 10th of December 2024, the number of Spaza shops issued with registration forms stands at 13,616, of which 1,916, some of the applications are incomplete, missing critical supporting documents, they have been returned. At present, 2,605 applications have been submitted by non-South African Spaza shop owners based on data from the city of Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, Western District Municipality, which is comprising of Merafong, Randwest City and Mohali City Local Municipality, and the Sedibeng District Municipality, which is made up of Emfuleni, Midvale and Sedi Local Municipality. The current engagement with township commercial property owners have helped to improve the numbers.
Anyone who registers an who operates an unregistered business, the law will take its course. That's why we have not even waited for this process of registration. There are those businesses that are not supposed to be operating. As I've said, more than 500 of them have been closed down. So this process, it's not mechanical. We're not saying we wait until we do this. No. Law enforcement continues. The police continue to do their work, and we continue doing our work.
But I think, I like the fact that I'm not gonna say I like what Trakpo does, but I'm gonna say that I liked that he went out and was asking questions. Mm. And you can see he was asking the mustard in the video. We'll take a listen to what the questions he was asking right now.
No, it is the entire city, yes, so check on the one who's supposed to make Nega must shop and register.
Yeah.
And then also because Ufe Abantuan, we need to ensure that Uti Kongo Kudla go right. Akuko expired. So we know Essienza, you're able to check Uti Mubani, the owner. Ngubani ke ngoku mhlawumbi umuntu oqeshileyo kwi-owner ukuthi abe nespaza shop. So ngoku i-department iphumile yathi abantu baboregistarisha la mashop ama-owner was yabona. And then also ngoku kufuneka ukuthi into eyenzekayo kulaa shop ya iphanga phakathi, if wena umqeshele ubaba lo, funeka wena nokuthi make sure ukuthi izinto zi-right. Because manje ulala laphaya and enye into kwisithi akanazange abe nencwadi, akana building plan yalapha, makusisha laphana angasha ngaphakathi. And then iminyango yakhe imincane yabo, it's not according to the standard. And le ndawo lena ayizonwanga ukuthi it's not zone for ukuthengisa uyabona. It's not being approved by the municipality. So ngoku uhulumente uthe uthi funeka niyoregistarisha kakuhle. And then wena uyazi ukuthi uyayibheka le ndawo, uyibheke yonke into irayithi, uyabona, ukudla kurayithi and uklini, because ama-rats akhona ngaphakathi, kuneempuku lapha ngaphakathi. So le mpuku lezi basebenzisa lama-chemicals at times ubulala zona ezampuku. So ezampuku zimane zisidla ukudla, zidle ekancane, then abantwana badle lamasimu. And then mhlawumbi ke bona babi. So besithi ukuthi i-owner, if wena babo uyi-owner of the place and uyi-owner yayo ispaza shop, but when we decide to come rent this, never will not be accountable. We won't do to put in your job.
Okay.
But he was asking the master about questions about inspections and all that. And the spaza shop owner, the owner of the spaza shop, I think, I'm not sure, I don't want to say what kind of a nationality he was, but he was obviously not South African, was standing to the side and not answering those questions. And it's like, so my thoughts the entire time was that, so you're telling me the owner of the shop is not answering the questions that Uchaku is asking, but the mustend is answering the questions. That also tells you that also the locals are also the problem.
Exactly. That's what the councillor in Deep Kloof said. The mustend, they are the ones that are, I mean, they are also the reason these kids are actually dying. Because they are gaining, again, they pay rent. Allegedly dying, yes. Thank you, Hanan, that are allegedly dying, yes. So they say that again they pay, I mean, rent, and they are gaining more. So closing as part of the shop, Libona, like, but they told up Pimali, so they might as well just open and operate in Zinia, as long as it's not my child, so they can just continue doing that.
Hemen. Wait, man. You're saying yesterday, Miley said, yes, you might have registered, but that does not mean you are ready to go, or that does not mean you are safe.
Yeah.
So this is the same conversation that we have been having, where this thing of them registering a business actually solves nothing.
Basically.
Solves nothing. Because
they still go back to...
Yeah. Why don't you just continue with Amarate? And I'm sure there was a tender for the online application. We're going to write the story.
Money is out.
We'll be there. There was a tender. So it shows the government is actually not addressing the problem, but they want to be seen like they are addressing the problem. There's actually nothing that they did so far, because when they gave the reports about the alleged cause of the death, it's what the media reports have been saying, to say it's Halepirim. They now trying to be famous by taking videos raiding this position. Yeah, that one system works, but we know who they are, short staffed. So it means when you raid my shop today, tomorrow when you leave, I'll take those expired goods and put them back in the shop. Because I know you're going to come after 5 months or 7 months, or you might not even come back. So it shows our government is not doing anything to address this thing. it's just playing the I wanna be on TV type true. Of thing.
And when you say that,
I wanna be on newspaper mm-hmm. type of thing.
Mm.
I mean, health inspectors in South Africa, we don't have health inspectors. I think we have. It's less than 1,000.
We don't have a less than 1,000.
You know what, Inspector General? Listen. You know what Inspector General said last week when I was asking about the inspections that they were doing in the agricultural sector. So I asked how many. She said we have about 2,500 inspectors inspecting farms all around South Africa.
I'm
not saying basically how we big have is less.
The, no, I mean, but I'm not
there's no balance
this. Yeah, I'm meaning there's no balance. You have more than I'm gonna assume because it happened, you have more than 80 tuck shops in Naledi.
Yes.
And I think it's the number they have for Gauteng or for Johannesburg. I think you heard this. That shows it's not enough to cover the whole of Soweto.
Yeah.
That's my point. We don't have inspectors that are enough to inspect every tuck shop in our townships.
Which is something that has always been... always been reported on it all, and I've been saying it. And I think I've asked multiple questions about this, the capacity to it in the media briefings that they're constantly having. And Umayle would constantly be on some. No, I asked Umayle last time. Umayle's like, we will try, even if it's through the Holy Ghost.
Hence, I'm saying to you, yes, we see the registration, we see everything. But that does not mean government is doing anything to address the problem. Government is just acting. We should just give them the softer award.
But also, it's something that they always do. Some organizations said, yes, they are fighting the issue of foodborne. We see that. But they're just so excited about this. They're not doing it.
It's just the softer performance. They are not doing anything. That John Stein hasn't said, I think it's a poison from a foreign country. But he's not giving us. We've been waiting for him to say, you know what? This comes from Zambia. I'm not saying Zambia is trying to kill us, but I'm making an example. But we are still waiting to say, you know what? After the following the 5 deaths in Naledi, we have arrested 5 people and they are answering in a court of law. But you are seeing nothing of that. The last time Aaron Motsoaledi said we found a foreign substance in City Mall or whatever.
And arrested those ones.
We are still waiting for the results of that because they said no. We are still assuming Horikio now.
Trying to link it to the puzzle shop.
So it shows government is doing nothing.
And I think in regards to who John Stein is, and I think John Stein is, and if he can, at first of not if he has not even identified the country, first of all, if that's already the first problem. You're telling us it's outside, but you don't know which outside. So first of all, that's a problem in itself. Secondly, when he does identify it, I think the substance in South Africa should just be banned entirely. You can't say it can only be used by farmers.
It works for them. I mean, you need strict rules. You need strict measures when you're working as a government. This thing is beneficial in the agricultural sector. Yes, we have Utabo trying to pull it Kokasi for the reds and everything. But they should make sure Utabo does not even get across N1 or N5. It should stay there in the farms. And I don't have a problem with it being in agricultural sector because it's beneficial for us. Yeah. It helps with pesticides. It helps plants to grow.
Yeah.
And it gives you a sense of hope. You know what? At the end, we're going to eat cabbage, the real cabbage that was planted. Yeah, not the cabbage that was so I don't have a challenge. I don't have a problem with... using of organophosphate.
Yeah.
I'm just saying put strict measures, ensure that it does not even cross the farm itself.
Yeah, I get you. Mm. Hi guys, but I think the topic of spaza shops or whatever like be a sore conversation to have. It's seeming to be like an anniversary. So is it like next year is it gonna happen again? Are we gonna go through the same thing again? Also starting in October again. So it's a very touchy topic, right? So guys, like I said, we're gonna switch things up today. So that was our final topic that we're gonna discuss. So now let's look at the whole year. Obviously, like I said, it's the last episode. I'm gonna ask each of the hosts to tell me what story they think stood out to them. Even if it was not reported by us, but what was like, it keeps getting worse, you know, that type of story. So I'm going to give it 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes, I mean seconds. I'm going to give it 5 seconds, right? And then we'll move on, right?
So we start with myself.
Another five, the one thing that was shocking to me, I won't say spaza shops because obviously I don't find it shocking. The one thing that was shocking to me was I don't know if it's the biggest one of the year, but it was not biggest to other people, obviously. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was the school violence. It was the school violence. School violence has increased. It has increased by a magnitude. I mean, you see kids stabbing each other. You see videos of teachers fighting, people doing wrestling, you know, like tables flying, buildings literally being put on fire by students. Gangsterism in schools are rising. You have literally now the police doing genuinely, literally, I think they're doing more raids now in schools than they ever have done before. And yet it's so quiet. I think what makes it big for me is the fact that it's not talked about a lot. It's overlooked. So vele Thabo Seko grade 9 was stabbed. Primary school was shot. Point is, I just feel like there's a lot of school things that happened this year. I mean, you look at that, even the racism ones.
True.
You look at that, and that happened, and Shapo Fans were suspended. You have principals raping kids. You have security guards not being beaten up by kids. There's so much going on. You have gangsters jumping over fences into properties. And we're like, it's okay. Let's go on. Guys.
For me, the biggest story for the year, obviously, 2024 general elections. I produced GNU. I was on the ground, which is amazing experience for me. Those interviews that, why are you voting? And people telling you, I'm voting because I want the crime stats to drop.
Yeah.
I'm voting because I want unemployment rate to drop. Mm. So you get to engage with the real people on the ground. You move away from the states of, 95% it's unemployed, or 27% of young people are unemployed. I mean, I will say it was a privilege, and I will say it was very touching for me because I managed to pull up that unemployment, no matter anything, before elections. So I got a sense of how people who are unemployed are desperate, how they are willing to do anything. They are willing to take any job just to have something. Also, going to them also. And I mean, elections in terms of crime also came before Ditebogo Jr. was shot and killed during a robbery. So when people saying, I'm going to vote because I want crime stats to drop, you can relate to say, okay, this is because of that incident that happened in May. And unfortunately, it happened in May also. But, so for me, 2024, the one thing that sticks out for me, it's the general elections. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had fun times. We had crying times. Yeah.
It wasn't it. And there was a lot of memes during that time.
Me, it's a very... It's one of the biggest things that happened this year. I mean, we had GNU for the second time. We had ANC going below 50% for the first time in our generation. Yeah. So in 20 years, when I'm old and sitting there with my grandkids, I'll say, I saw ANC going into its knees. If it was still around at the time. So yeah, so for me, the 2024 general elections played a huge role, opened a lot of viewing into me, opened a lot of discussions that we had as young people, the discussions that we saw happening. Yeah. So yeah, for me, 2024 general elections.
Nandi?
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, and then I have to go to, like, for me, the biggest is the stories that you've covered with our news editor, Ulindile Sifiso, extortion. And I like the fact that we as the media managed to put it out there, because I know that people knew about it, but they were not able to speak about it because Maya Saba and you have Induna Zendawa saying that you have to pay me this. And most buildings, they end up just being halfway done because of that. So I just love how, I mean, you guys...
We do what we do.
Yeah, like you actually portrayed and painted a picture, and it's nice now that, because there's a show that's playing Gugu Mzansi Magic, they are going into extortion. And I know if it was not because of the media, they would have maybe picked it up maybe next year or other, but it's I just love how people are now understand how this thing works, and it's not right. It's not a right thing to pay someone to protect you. To protect you from what?
Yeah, doesn't make sense. But yeah, guys.
I mean, we also have a hotline, extortion hotline with SARPS now because of the media. It was one of the biggest stories.
And sometimes the media is not that bad, guys.
No, I get it. I get it. They say we lie and we manipulate things. Guys, we don't manipulate.
What are we manipulating?
Among man. Read. I think that's the problem that most people don't do. They don't read. But yeah, anyway, guys. So that is the episode of the day, right? So, not even the day, the year, the last one.
See you next
day. Guys, that's festive tips and warnings. Please, let's just give it a round. Stay safe on the roads. Please, don't drink, guys.
Don't drink alcohol. Drink water.
Be cautious with everything that you're doing, guys.
It's SAB. So when we say don't drink alcohol, what are you saying?
We've lost a lot of
for those who are going on trips and going
South African berries.
Hemen, stop it.
We are supporting Amanda.
For those who are going on trips and going away from their homes,
drink responsible.
Drink
responsible.
The minute you know what you're going to be in front of the wheel, who's a man, guys?
As we say, drink responsible. We are not saying Hemen, don't drink.
Hemen, can you...
No, let's not convince people to do snacks things.
Okay, guys.
I said I have alcohol now.
Drink responsible, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Hemen.
Thank you.
For those who are going away from their homes, please make sure that your homes are secure. Get a dog, get a bulldog. I don't know. You know, put the bulldog sign, even if you don't have a dog, in front of your gate. You know, do electric fencing. Everything to do to protect your home, guys. Also during the festive season, mind your health, guys. Just because kumnandi doesn't mean you must now pump your body with all these toxins. Stay healthy, right, ne? Also, watch out for the scams, guys. Watch out for the scams.
Don't be overexcited.
Even if you want to buy your girlfriend, you want to buy your boyfriend things, do not just buy it because it's cheaper. Hey man, hey, you're looking at you.
And I'm just
guys, enjoy the festive season, guys.
I about them.
Hey man, focus, guys. And for those who are looking for like things to do, I mean, by now you should know that there are a few concerts are out. Chris Brown has landed. He landed on Wednesday, I think.
Caught biking, then go to Chris Brown.
We don't care about your opinion. Thank you so much.
Hey man, do you have money to buy Chris Brown's ticket? Do you have money to buy Chris Brown's ticket to be right in the front? To be in the front. To be in the front.
I do. And then you finish them up. I don't have the money. It's just that I'm not interested.
Guys, for those who are going to the Chris Brown,
I'm going to watch a big team. Yeah, Sundowns.
Hemen.
Yeah, Torapin. Sorry.
But that's the way. For those who are going to the Chris Brown concert, please be safe. Please, guys, be safe. Actually, like when you're going there, you guys, because then this is also when the paras are also looking for opportunities. So if you're going as a group, one person must take a phone. One person takes a cell phone, the other people leave the cell phones at home.
Whose phone is left to be at risk?
That's a bad advice.
Gwena, no. And what if they are Gwena, no? No, Gwena,
Gwena. Which phone are we taking?
They are Gwena, take it back.
That's a bad advice.
Take the one whose phone is the least expensive. Guys, so there's a Chris Brown pre-season is in South Africa for two days. You have people who though there's a Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol, a theater classic at Monte Cassino. Obviously, we all know Monte Cassino always has stuff going on there, guys. So then they swinging Christmas. There's also a Jersey holiday concert at the Carnival City. You have Gems on Ice at the Elka Stadium on Sunday as well. There's more going in, but guys, Merry Christmas.
You have enjoyed today, tonight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And we are packed with them.
Also, for those who are very spiritual, you have Buro Risang. They're here at the Constitutional Hill. They have, you know, I think also Joyous Celebration. Oh, saying, no, sorry. Joyous Celebration had something last week. So sorry. But point is, have a Merry Christmas, guys. Enjoy the festive seasons. Okay, guys. So that's all for today. Thank you for joining us, guys. And have a festive season. And
Merry Christmas. And bye.
Bye.